For many people, Memorial Day is merely a day at the beach. We remind you, though, that your day at the beach was paid for in part by the day brave men stormed the beaches of Normandy and many other brave men and women who have paid the ultimate sacrifice so that we and others may live free. This Memorial Day, take time to remember those who have sacrificed to secure and defend our freedom, and thank God for His blessings on America.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
Have you ever thought what God requires of you? Obviously, we have talked about this quite a bit, that when we look at the Bible, God requires perfection. God requires perfect obedience to His commandments. All of us fall short. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's no one that has ever lived on this earth that has ever fully kept the commandments of God except for Jesus Christ, who came to this earth to live a sinless life and to die for your sins and mine so that our sins can be forgiven. But God also still wants us to be holy as He is holy, even though that's an impossible task. It's not something we can ever do or accomplish. It is something that we should strive for. And in fact, through God working in us, we can and should become more like Him each and every day. When we look at the commandments of God, there are many today who believe that these commandments were changed and done away with by Jesus coming. And certainly, there are certain commandments that were changed because Jesus came. For instance, we no longer are required to gather once a year to worship and to kill a lamb and to put the blood in, you know, as they did in Egypt, put the blood on the doorpost. We no longer are required to actually have that Passover ceremony. There are many who do so. Many Jews still do so. And of course, many of those Jews don't really realize or recognize that Jesus is the Messiah. There are also Christians who practice Passover, celebrate Passover, remember Passover. But God doesn't require us to kill the blood of a sheep for our sins. We don't have to gather once a year and shed the blood of bulls and goats for our sins. The high priest doesn't need to go into the Holy of Holies once a year and shed the blood of an animal and pour that blood upon the mercy seat, because Jesus did so in heaven. The Ark of the Covenant on earth was a type and a shadow. But what does God require of us today? Certainly, there are people, again, who believe that all of the commandments are null and void, and really we don't have to go with those. If something's not mentioned in the New Testament, that we don't actually need to follow that. There are even whole churches that are based on, even though in the Bible, in the Old Testament, there were many mentions of instruments, there's an entire denomination of Christianity that, because musical instruments aren't mentioned in the New Testament, they believe that, well, we shouldn't actually have musical instruments in the New Testament. We're going to look at the Bible and we're going to see one of the things that God requires of us. And one of those things that God requires of us, He really requires everything that you have. God requires your all. He doesn't want just part of you. He wants all of you. And we're going to look at this in Mark chapter 12, beginning in verse 28. We're going to see, then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceived that he, that is Jesus, had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, the first of the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So the scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no one but He. And to love Him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." Now when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." But after that, no one dared ask him a question. And so we're going to dive into this. And really what Jesus is saying, if you look at the Ten Commandments, if you look at the other commandments of God, and really what's called the case laws that lay out how the law should be applied, you're going to see that they deal with either our relationship with God, and that's what Jesus addressed in the first commandment, and also our relationship with man, which that's what Jesus referenced in this second commandment. And Jesus wasn't saying that these two commandments would replace the law of God. In fact, Jesus even went so far as to say that he did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. And the reason we don't have to sacrifice the blood of bulls and goats and sheep today is because Jesus has become and did become our Passover lamb. He did become our scapegoat. He did become that bull that was sacrificed. And he did so once and for all. We're going to look at some of the words in this passage of Scripture and actually just expound upon it and show you a little bit more what these words are, because we read this in English. But the Bible wasn't written in English. The New Testament, most of the New Testament, was written in Greek, and also the Old Testament, most of that was written in Hebrew. And there are many different words that have different meanings. In fact, there are, I believe, four different words for the word love that we use that one word in English, but there are four different words in Greek for love. And they all mean something a little bit different. And so we're going to look at this from the Bible and see what really break this down and see what that God wants all of you. He wants all of your mind, all of your soul, all of your strength. And what does this mean? He wants you to love him with all of that as well, with your heart as well. And so this word love, first of all, this is the word agape. And in Strong's Concordance, it's word 25. And it's interesting, this word actually did not exist prior to Jesus coming to this earth. So it's a word that God actually created a new word with a new definition. This is sometimes called the God kind of love. So from Strong's, we see that this is perhaps from again, which is much, and it means to love in a social or moral sense, love. Going on a little bit more in depth, Spyros Odiadis, who has Greek as his native language and has been studying the Greek of the New Testament for many years, has a Bible dictionary, and he defines this word as this: to love indicates a direction of the will and finding one's joy in anything. Contrast with phileo, to be contented contented with, denounced or denoting common interest, hence befriending. Agapeo is used of God's love toward man and vice versa, but phileo is never used of love of man toward God. Agapeo and never phileo is used of love toward our enemies. The range of phileo is wider than that of agapeo, which stands higher above phileo because of its moral import, love that expresses compassion. This is a type of love that God wants us to have for him. It's also the type of love that God commands for husbands to have for their wives. And it's interesting also, when you look at the disciples, you know, they all said, hey, we're not going to forsake you. And Peter was the first among those to say, I'm not going to deny you. Jesus said, you will deny me. And after Jesus' ascension and when Jesus appeared to them, Jesus asked Peter whether he agaped him. And Peter responded that he phileoed him. And Jesus asked again, do you agape me, Peter? Peter answered again, I phileo you. And then he asked, Lord, or Jesus asked again, do you phileo me? He switched the word because Peter was not willing to say that he had this unconditional love for God because he knew that he had fallen short. And really, it was out of that humility and out of that repentance that God did a huge and tremendous work in him. So this word, though, really, as you can see, it imparts compassion. It expresses compassion. It's an act of the will. You see, sometimes we don't feel like loving God. Sometimes we don't feel like worshiping. Sometimes husbands may not feel like loving their wives, and wives may not feel like loving their husbands. But we need to commit and determine in our will that we are going to do what God wants us to do, regardless of our feelings, regardless of how we feel, what we want to do. We actually do what God requires of us. We do what God wants us to do. And so in this passage, this verse, or this word is really a unique word. Again, wasn't used in the Greek language before Jesus Christ. And then you'll notice that God talks about not just loving, but he talks about loving your God with all. Not just part, but all. In the Strong's Concordance, this word all is a primary word. It means whole or all, complete, in extent, amount, time, or degree, especially as noun or adverb, all, altogether, every whit, throughout, or whole. So God wants us to agape him, to love him unconditionally, this love that doesn't depend on action or doesn't depend on feelings. It doesn't depend on what we want to do. It is an act of our will, and he wants us to do this with everything that is in us. And he's going to actually further describe here what all is applied to. And we're going to look at the various things that Jesus said with all of your heart. He goes on, not just with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. So we're going to look at these words and actually see what God is saying here. So when we talk about the heart here, when the Bible talks about the heart, in this context, the word is cardia in Greek. It's in Strong's Concordance, it's word 2588. It's not talking about your heart that pumps blood. It's talking about something different. And when we look at this, it's a prolonged from a primary car, the heart, figuratively, the thoughts or feelings, the mind, also by analogy, the middle. And there's a word, brokenhearted, that is talking about, and really Jesus was brokenhearted on the cross when he died and really had to bear the sin of all the world upon him, and God turned his back upon Jesus because of that sin, and Jesus was brokenhearted. So here we're talking about not the heart that beats blood or pumps blood through the body. What we're talking about is we're talking about the thoughts, the feelings, the mind, also the middle. So God wants us to love him with all of our heart, which means all of our thoughts. Just think about that for a minute. Every thought you have is every thought you have toward God, or sometimes are you thinking about sin? Are you contemplating sin? Are you meditating upon sin sometimes? Sometimes are you drawn astray? Sometimes as a man, are you looking at a woman lustfully? Or as a woman, are you looking at a man lustfully? Are you lusting after wealth? Or are your thoughts really focused on loving God and purity? And also it talks about our feelings. I talked earlier about whether you feel like doing something or not. And that love really doesn't matter whether you feel like doing what you're supposed to do or not. You're still supposed to do what you're supposed to do. And this, when we bring our feelings in line with the Word of God, and when we actually bring those into submission to God, that is when we can say, hey, I'm actually, you know, even though I don't feel like this, I'm going to will to do this anyway. And what can happen is God can actually change our feelings as we go through that. So we are to really to think about, when we talk about the thought, we're talking about the mind, we're talking about the feelings, we're talking about the thoughts. God wants all of your thoughts. He wants all of your feelings. He wants you to love him with all of your mind, with all of your thoughts, all of your feelings. He doesn't want just part of you. He wants all of you. And then he also says that we are to love the Lord our God with all, not just part, but all of our soul. So this word soul is in the Strong's Concordance, word 5590. It is psuche. It is from 5594, breath, by implication, spirit, abstract or concretely, the animal sentiment, principle only. Thus distinguished from, on the one hand, word 4151, which is the rational and immortal soul, and on the other hand, word 2222, which is mere vitality that even plants have. These terms thus exactly and correspondingly, respectively, and it means heartily, life, mind, soul, us, and you. So when he's saying to love you with all of your heart, this is really your inner being, and it is your spirit, and it's not just your physical life, but it is something that will continue to be a part of us. And even after we die, even after our mortal flesh dies and we go to meet our Maker, our soul will survive. And God doesn't want us to, he doesn't want to us to worship him or to love him with some of our soul. He wants us to love him with all of our soul. Everything that is in us, everything that is in you, everything that is in me, God wants you to love him. And he also says that he wants us to love him with all of our mind. And this in the Strong's Concordance is word 1271. And this word means deep thought, proper, the faculty, mind or its disposition, by implication, its exercise, imagination, mind, understanding. So we are to love God with all of our mind. And to love God with all of your mind, really what needs to happen is you need to actually meditate upon his word. You need to think about his word. You need to ponder about his word. And to actually train yourself to be thinking God's thoughts. You see, the Bible tells us very clearly that our minds, when we come to God, when we come to Christ, we're not going to be pure. We're not going to be holy. We're not going to have perfect and pure thoughts. You know, there are some people that even give testimonies that when they come to Christ, that they are saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, and they've been that way since that time. But that's really not the way it all starts. Certainly, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit, and God can do a work in you. But really, that work is a progressive work, and you become more and more like God. You become less and less like yourself. We all have inclinations to sin. You may be tempted in a different way than I am tempted. Certainly, some men are tempted with women. Some men are tempted with men. Some women are tempted with men. Some women are tempted with women. Some people are tempted with alcohol. Some people are tempted with drugs. Some people are susceptible to just lying in bed and doing nothing when things aren't going right, instead of actually doing what God calls us to do, which is to still function and to cast our cares upon him and to plead with him. God wants us to bring all of our thoughts into captivity to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to love God with all of our mind. And just think about this, that, you know, those thoughts that you have, and every one of us has thoughts of temptation and thinking about sin. And really, there's a choice on whether we entertain those thoughts or whether we reject those thoughts and instead think about what God wants us to think about and meditate upon his precepts and his word. And when we do that, we are loving him with all of our mind. And we're telling God, God, I care more about you than I care about sin. In fact, I want to obey you. I don't want to live in sin. I don't want to forsake the principles of God. I want to keep your commandments and your precepts. And it's only by, first of all, committing to do this, committing to love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength, that we can actually start on this path. And then secondly, it's disciplining ourselves by meditating upon his word, by reading his word, by abiding in his word. As Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you will be my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And so we need to actually get into the word of God. The Bible talks about the washing of the water of the word that cleanses our hearts, that cleanses our souls, that cleanses our minds, and helps us to think right thoughts. And that's a discipline. And Jesus here also says that we need to love God with all of our strength. And so this word strength in the Strong's Concordance is word 2479. It's from a derivative of its force compared to eschalon. It is forcefulness, literally or figuratively, ability, might, power, and strength. So everything that you have, all of your being, your entire intellect, your entire heart, including your thoughts and your feelings, your entire soul, which is your spirit and the very life that you have. And this spirit, again, is not just physical life, because it's going to continue on after you die. All of your mind and all of your strength, everything that you have, God wants us to give that all to Him and to love Him with all of that. And I just want to ask you, do you do that? Do you, you know, on a scale of maybe 1 to 10, with 10 being the highest and 1 being the lowest, you know, what, how would you say that you're loving God? Are you loving God with all of your soul? Are you loving God with all of your strength, with all of your mind, with all of your heart? Are you doing this? And really, this is something that God requires of us. And certainly, we all are falling short of this standard. God sets a high standard, and we fall short of that standard. But we are still called by God to raise up the standard, to lift up the standard, to continue to move closer and closer to the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want to challenge you today to commit to loving God, to love Him with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Lord, hasten the day when the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. When the earth rejoices for the Lord and the multitudes of the isles are glad. When the Lord has established justice in the earth and the coastlands wait for His law. When the fullness of the Gentiles comes and you call your people Israel back into your kingdom. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
For many people, Memorial Day is merely a day at the beach. We remind you, though, that your day at the beach was paid for in part by the day brave men stormed the beaches of Normandy and many other brave men and women who have paid the ultimate sacrifice so that we and others may live free. This Memorial Day, take time to remember those who have sacrificed to secure and defend our freedom and thank God for His blessings on America.
Testimonies feed my faith. I love to hear about miracles. Do you too? Well, you can listen to my show. I'm Rhett Palmer. It's a new day every day at 7 a.m., 3 p.m., and 3 a.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 on your FM dial.
Hi, this is Pastor Philip Upton of Just a Voice Radio Ministry, broadcasting here on WCNO 89.9, Saturdays, 5 a.m. and p.m. Come on and join us. Hope to see you there.
The civil government does not define your ethic as a Christian. That's critical that we understand that. And now maybe people will become more and more awakened to that.
Hi, this is R.C. Sproul, and I hope that you are listening to Renewing Your Mind on this station every day.
Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. and p.m. on WCNO.
Tune in to Torah Life Ministries with Paul Neeson, airing daily Monday through Friday at 6:30 a.m. and p.m., and also heard each Saturday at 12 noon.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.